Oops, hitting the wrong thing. There we go.
Nice to see everyone this morning. And I am with the 60 Club now. And a lot of things, sometimes things we used to do all day, it takes us all day to do. Good to be with you this morning. And this morning we're going to look at four different places where we're going to see people who call upon the Lord. Have you ever called upon the Lord? Three places in the Word of God. We see that verse mentioned. First of all, in Joel chapter 3, verse 23, it says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered." We see the same verse again in Acts chapter 2. "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." We see it again in Romans chapter 10 and verse 13. "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Why was it mentioned three times? What does the word Lord mean? We see Mary in chapter 20 of John's Gospel where she calls out, when the Lord revealed himself to her, she called him Master. And that's what the word Lord means. It means supreme master. That means when a person realizes, recognizes that the Lord is his master, that he is Lord, the Lord God of heaven, he can be saved. But you know what? It's hard to get people to that place where they'll call out upon the name of the Lord. Last week in Summerside, I was speaking about confessing our sins. How easy is it to confess that you're a sinner? We look at our court system today and we have a backlog of people. We have cases that are piling up and piling up. Why are they piling up? Because there's people who will not confess they're sinners. Have you ever seen in the paper someone who comes to the lawyers or to the judge and say, "You know what? I have sinned." What is the first thing that comes out of their mouths? Even people who have done heinous things, "Not guilty." Not guilty. It is a tremendously hard thing to get someone to admit their sin. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. "If we confess our sin, he is faithful." That is the Lord Jesus Christ, and just to forgive us our sins. But you know what? It is so hard to get a person to confess. The word confess in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9 means to name, to admit, to take sides with, to be in agreement with God. And how many people today will say, "Lord," or to the judge, "You know what? I agree with you. I have sinned. I murdered someone. Or I've done this, or I've done that." And so when God says, "For all have sinned, come short of the glory of God," that was a true statement, isn't it? For 31 years, I would not confess that I was a sinner. Do you know what I would say? "I'm not as bad as he down the street. Do you know what? He's worse than I am." We would never look upon Jesus as we're singing this morning. And my friends, when you take a real good look at the Lord Jesus Christ, you will understand where you are. Because he never sinned. But you know what? You can't get people to look at the Lord Jesus Christ either. This last little month, over a little month ago, I've been to two funerals, two weddings, in some of the mainline churches of today. And my friends, we are in serious trouble if we are to listen what those people were preaching from the pulpit. We are in serious problems. We are to have faith in sacraments, objects of a church. We are to be brought into children of God by baptism. And what I was hearing yesterday, we're all going to heaven. At the end of the day, we can live just exactly the way we want. We can sin as much as we want, and we're all going to heaven. You know what? He was a lovely guy. He never hurt anyone. He did tremendous community service, kind to those who were poor. And you know what? God's going to open the door and let him come in. My friend, if you believe that this morning, that is a lie. And that's a lie that's from the pit of hell. And if you don't believe me, start reading the Word of God. And there's not one verse in the Bible that will support what these people have been saying and leading the blind down the blind pathway. And today we're playing church. And people are religious and trying to be morally fit and think they're going into God's heaven. And how wrong they are. One look at four scriptures in the Word of God, stories, and we're just going to make a few little comments in each one. First one is in Luke's Gospel, chapter 18. Comparison between two men, and if you can put yourself in the place of one of these men, then do that, please. Look what it says in Luke's Gospel. The Lord Jesus Christ, when he walked on this earth, he's talking, and he's speaking about a parable. A parable is something that you bring alongside. It's an earthly story with a heavenly or spiritual meaning. And the Lord says this in Luke's Gospel, chapter 18 and verse 19. And he spake this parable unto them, that is the Lord Jesus, which trusted in themselves. Isn't that the way the world is today? Trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Isn't that a picture of someone who is very religious? Listen to what it says. Two men went up to the temple to pray. At that time, the temple was a place of worship. The one a Pharisee, that is a religious leader at the time. And the other a publican, that is a tax collector who people despised and hated. Why? They had reason to do that because most of them were corrupt right up to the eyeballs. I don't know what they're like today. Back then they were corrupt. They were corrupt. They were despised. But listen to the difference between these two people's attitude towards God. The Pharisee stood and he prayed in verse 11 thus with himself. God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. He says, God, I thank you that I'm not like him. What is he doing? He's comparing himself with other men. Just like the world today. Just like probably you if you're not saved today. Just like I was before I was saved. I did say those things. I did think those things. I'm not as bad as he is. Look what he's doing. People today, well, you know, God's salvation is for him. But it's not for me. It's for someone down the road because you know what? He needs it. My friend, you need to start looking at yourself. Are you ready to meet the Lord? If you died today, is there any reason why God should let you into his heaven? Listen to the responses again of this man. This man, he says, the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week and I give tithes of all that I possess. He was a good man, wasn't he? What would the world say to this man if he passed away? This was an outstanding man. And God should let this man into heaven, shouldn't he? He wasn't an extortioner. He wasn't an adulterer. He was someone who gave all his money or part of his money to those who needed it. He goes to the temple and he fasts. You know what? He fasts. He doesn't even eat for 2 or 3 days because he wants to be right with God. What is missing? Well, let's read about the other man. And the publican, verse 13, this is the other fellow. That is a tax collector who was hated, despised, and probably had the people had the right to think this about him. But listen to what he says. And the publican, standing afar off, that is from the temple, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast. And that means he kept smoting, beating upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me. What? It says a sinner, but the real actual meaning is the sinner. And my friends, when you can get to a place where you can stand up and face God and say, you know what? I am the sinner. I was the one who put you on the cross. I believe it. I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I have sinned against you. And you know what? I deserve nothing but hell. I deserve it. I believe that. And I believe that Jesus Christ, when he died for my sins. Lord Jesus Christ, will you forgive me my sins? Will you save me? My friends, if you can get to that place, the Lord will save you. And this publican, standing afar off, would not so much as lift up his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Look at verse 14. I tell you, this man, which man? The man who smote upon his breast and said, Lord, he confessed that he was a sinner. He went down to his house justified. What's justified mean? Acquitted. Romans chapter 1, chapter 5 and verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself, what? Shall be abased. And he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Have you ever come to that place where you have humbled yourself? You know what? That is one of the big things today in the world is pride. And you may look at people and you say, well, that's not a proud person. And you may look at someone else and say, yes, they are a proud person. They're looking up, down their nose and so on. Do you know what? God knows every individual in this place today. He knows your heart. Your heart involves, as I mentioned before, our minds, our wills, and our emotions or our attitude towards God. Our feelings towards God. And you could sit there, you may look all humble and everything else. You may even be proud of your humility. God knows where you are. And you may meet like either this man who went up, this Pharisee, you're religious. You say, you know what? I come to Charlottetown Bible Chapel every Sunday. I sit in this same pew. I sing those hymns, and aren't they lovely? We were to listen to a man this summer who was singing some tremendously beautiful hymns. He's not saved. How can you sing a hymn, "He touched me and made me whole"? How can you sing about the cross and about the Lord Jesus Christ dying for your sins and not be saved? Because they're blinded by the god of this world, small g, the devil, and by all the things that are in this world. Like these people who are preaching from a pulpit at those two funerals and two weddings. Yesterday was almost a mockery at a wedding. Somebody was already married before. It's scary what goes on in a place, and then they come in and they bow, as it were, to God. And then the things that are said scare you. It's a wonder God doesn't cut people right down and right in the midst of their work. You know what? Even as us Christians, sometimes we go to sleep. Just like the word is, in this world there's anarchy. Everybody's falling away. In the churches, there's apostasy. And in the pew, there's apathy. People, we don't take things, we just take everything for granted now. You know what? I go to church on Sunday, and that's all I need. I go home and hope somebody up there is preaching, gives me something I can think about or something, or do not stir up what I'm going on in my life. The Word of God is to convict us. It's also to teach us. It's also to change things that are in our lives that need to be changed. That's why the Lord gave us the Word of God. That's what the Spirit of God is supposed to do. The Spirit of God is supposed to convict us of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment to come. But we're getting less and less and less of that. Because you know what? We don't want to be bothered. We don't want anything to stir us up. This man thought because he went up to the temple to pray, that was good enough. And he could stand there and brag about all the things he was doing, how good they were, how good they looked in front of other people. And God looks upon the what? The heart. Man looks on the outward appearance. And you know what? We all do the same thing. We all do the same thing, myself included. And God looks on that heart. That is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. The question is asked, who can know it? The answer comes, I, the Lord, know the heart. Try the reins in Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 10. He knows your heart. He knows your mind, your will, your emotions, your feelings, your attitude towards Him. He knows that. I don't. Here's a man, a religious man. He went up to the temple to pray. He said, Lord, I thank Thee that I'm not like, God, I thank Thee that I'm not like this person over here. I'm not like this person over here. I'm not like this guy over here. And thank God I'm not like this tax collector. I give tithes and I'm such a good living person. How could you ever keep me out of heaven? And the tax collector, the fellow who was despised and probably corrupt, but he came to himself. He came to acknowledge that he was unworthy in the sight of God. He wouldn't even look towards heaven because you know what? He felt guilty. He had a conscience and he said, Lord, I'm the sinner. They put you there on the cross. And the Lord said, this is the man who went to his house justified. Why? Because he came to the place where he realized that he had sinned against God and against his son, Jesus Christ. And what did he say? God be merciful to me. Do you know what mercy is? God not giving to us what we deserve. And what do we deserve? The wages of sin is what? Death. Separation from God. And if we're not saved when we leave this world, that's what it'll be. Separation from God for all eternity. What is the grace of God? The moment you're saved, God gives you something you do not deserve. What is that? Eternal life. A life to be with Him for all eternity. Can you not say thank you for that? We need to realize what God has done for us. And one man here did, the other didn't. Let's turn to another story. Let's go to Luke chapter 23. We all know these stories. So we first of all, we saw a man in sin, and we see humbleness. He humbled himself. Secondly, we're going to look at a man here in death, and we see his helplessness. He is nailed to a cross. You read the story about this thief, and there was two of them, by the way, one on the left and one on the right. We're going to read in at verse 31 of chapter 23 of Luke's Gospel. And there were also two other malefactors or thieves or people who had done bad deeds, led with him, that is the Lord Jesus, to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, that is the Lord Jesus, and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiments and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and rulers also with them, that is the religious rulers, derided him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself, if he be the Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him sour wine, and saying, If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, This is the king of the Jews. And one of the malefactors, which were hanged, railed on him, saying, If thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due rewards of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, This is the one thief. Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. We're talking about people who called out to the Lord. The first one said, God be merciful to me, or Lord be merciful to me, the sinner. We're talking about a man here who is in death, and we see his helplessness. He's nailed to a tree, and he says, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. He called out to the Lord. I'll give you two verses for that. I already gave you one. Romans chapter 10 and verse 13, and mentioned three times. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be what? Saved. Jeremiah chapter 33 and verse 3 says this. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. And my friends, the moment you call out to the Lord, your eyes will be opened, and you will start to see and understand and comprehend what the Word of God is saying, because now you're walking in the light. You have come out of the darkness, and you're walking in light. And you open the Bible, you say, oh my word, that makes sense now. For 31 years it didn't. I read it, it didn't make sense. I opened it today, I'm saved, and it makes sense. Why? Because now you're indwelt by the Spirit of God. One of the members of the Godhead. It says in Peter that we have part of the divine nature within us now. We can now see where once we were blind. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And he said unto him, verse 42, he said unto the Lord Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Look at the Lord's response in verse 43. And Jesus said unto him, verily or truly I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Could I say three things about this man? I've said them before. First of all, he was a dying man, wasn't he? He was nailed to the cross. He was a dying man, and my friend, you were a dying man too. You're a dying woman too. So am I. 60 years old, how many more years have I got to live on this earth? Maybe you say, well, I'm only 15 or I'm only 20. How many more years do you have? The Bible says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Don't plan on another day, another year, or 10 years, or 20, okay? Because you don't know when you're going to leave this earth. And God has allowed you a certain amount of time on this earth. And my friends, you better be ready when you leave this earth, because you can't get ready after. Something else I heard when I was at these places, praying for people who are dead to get them into heaven. You'll find me a verse in the Word of God that'll show you that. And people are paying money to pray for people after they're dead to get them into God's heaven. And people believe it. They swallow it up. You know why? Because they're not reading the Word of God themselves. They're listening to someone who is dressed in a robe, and they're entrenched with ritualism and rationalism. This is what my parents have done all our lives. This is what we do, and this is what we're going to continue to do. And we're following men. We're following women, and they're taking us to hell. They're not reading the Word of God, and they're not following God's only way, His Son, Jesus Christ. I hope there's no one sitting here this morning. You know what? You don't have to believe me, what I'm saying. If you find something I am saying is not right in your sight, then start reading the Word of God, because I believe this book is the Word of God, the inspired Word of God. It's inerrant. It's infallible. And it's inspired by God Himself. And my friends, that is part of believing. The word believe, if you went to Hebrews chapter 1, it means conviction. It means to have confidence in. It means to believe with all your heart. Absolutely nothing in between. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. Don't start thinking rationalizing everything. And that's what people are hung up. You know why? Because it's an easy way out. You go into a church and somebody says, you know what? You just be a good boy. You just be a good girl. Be good in your community. Be kind. Go to church. Give some money. You know what? God can't keep you out of His heaven. And there's a lot of people in hell today who must think back about the things they were told. Do you know what? You and I have a responsibility to strive to enter into the kingdom of God. Remember, we back to Luke chapter 13? We go to Matthew chapter 7, it says, enter in at the straight gate or the narrow gate. And then in Luke's gospel chapter 13, it says, strive to enter in. People will not strive. That is to work hard at it or to take time to understand what is after life. And we spend time and time and hours on blueprints to build a house, on ways to go on vacation, on our travel and everything else, but we don't take time to understand or to know for sure where we're going to be for all eternity. We just don't care. That's not important. And how many years do we have? Maybe 10, 20, 30, 70, 80, 90 years. How long is eternity? You could start now saying eternity. You could say forever and ever, forever and ever. You could say that all day long and all week long and whole year long, and you'd still never exhaust eternity. And we do not pay attention where we're going to be for all eternity. We don't care. We care about now. We care about tomorrow. We don't care about our sins. My friends, it doesn't take long to understand that we're sinners. How many of us have bad thoughts? How many of us have, out of the abundance of our heart, our mouth speaks? How many of us have actions that are not pleasing to God? And people stand up there and tell you you're a sinner, and you say, huh, I'm not as bad as him. That's not the point. It doesn't matter how bad you were in comparison to the boy down the street. How good are you compared to the Lord Jesus Christ? And how are you going to get into God's heaven if he says your sin has separated you from God? How are you going to get there? Because somebody told you you could? Oh yeah, the preacher told me I was saved anyway. The preacher said, or the priest said, or whatever. We got people going and confessing their sins to somebody in a box. My Bible says there's only one person can forgive sins. His name is Jesus Christ. Why does he have the right to do that? Because he died for your sins. Does that make sense? I have a piece in my Bible for a number of years ago where people are going to confess their sins to a computer. Now give your head a shake. That doesn't even make sense. But people believe it because, you know what? It's easy. And I've heard people who go to these people and tell them in a box confessing their sins. Do they confess all their sins? No, they don't. They just tell them what they want to. Many of them leave a lot of their sin out. Not only that, the person can't even forgive them their sins. And yet people will do that over and over and over again. And think they're going to get into God's heaven. It's hard to understand, isn't it? Here is a man on the cross. And I want to show you a couple of little things about this man. First of all, he couldn't join a church, could he? He couldn't come down from that cross and go join a church. Well, my point is this. Religion will not get you into heaven. Ever get you into heaven. He couldn't be baptized. If baptism was going to get you into heaven, he couldn't be baptized with his hands and feet nailed to the tree, could he? He couldn't do good works, could he? He couldn't go out into the community now and start doing good things, could he? Because his hands were nailed to the tree. He couldn't become religious now, could he? Because he was only a couple hours away from death. Here is a man who was a dying man like you and I. But here is a man who was a discerning man. He was a man who was paying attention to what was going on. If you read the other Gospels, you will see that both thieves at the beginning were railing upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Read it for yourselves. It says in Luke's Gospel, this chapter we just read, one man, all of a sudden, he turned to the other man. He said, this man has done nothing amiss. The other man, the other thief, kept railing on the Lord Jesus Christ. If thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. He was thinking only of himself. This one thief, all of a sudden, and you tell me what happened to him. You know what the Bible says so many times in the Gospels? He that hath ears, let him hear. A lot of us are listening, but we're not here. We're not paying attention. It's going in this ear, and it comes right out this ear. This one thief began to listen. He heard those words, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The Lord Jesus said that. He said, why would he say that? He saw above his cross, King of the Jews. He probably saw and heard about the miracles that this man had been doing, healing the sick, given sight to the blind. Those who were deaf now be able to hear. And all those things started coming to his mind. Do you know what the word behold means? It means to investigate. Behold the Lamb of God. We see that. Behold is mentioned about over 300 times in the Word of God. It means to stop what you're doing. It means to focus upon. It's mean to look at that man who hung on the center cross and say, what is he doing there? And then you find out if that man on the center cross was a sinner. Does he deserve to be there? then what is he doing there? And then you will come to that place, hopefully, that he is dying for someone else's sins, not his own. And when you realize that he's dying for your sins, that you were the sinner that put him there, then you will bow the knee and you say, Lord, forgive me for my sins. I am in total agreement with you that I have sinned against God, against you only. It's my sin that put him there. I want to be forgiven. I want to be in heaven. I want to be a child of God. Will you forgive me, Lord Jesus Christ, because he can forgive you. Lord, remember me. Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Let's turn to one more place. I just want to say one more thing about this man before we turn. He was a dying man. He was a discerning man. And he was a delivered man. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. This man called out to the Lord. Did you ever do that? I mean, seriously, believing and say, Lord, will you save me? Lord, Master, Supreme Master, will you save me? I want you to be my master. He was a dying man. He was a discerning man. He was a delivered man. And as I mentioned before, in the morning, that very morning, this man was outside of Christ. If he died in an instant, he would have went to hell. In the noontime, he was in Christ. That is the moment he said, Lord, remember me. He was saved. How do I know that? Look at verse 43. And Jesus said, verily or truly I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. The Lord knew what was going to happen. In the morning he was outside of Christ. At noontime, which was the sixth hour of the day, he was in Christ. And in the evening he was with Christ. Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. That's heaven, or a place where the Lord Jesus Christ is. He was saved by the skin of his teeth. And please, don't wait that long to be saved. One more in Acts chapter 9. This is Paul the Apostle, known as Saul of Tarsus before he was saved. This is one who was called out to the Lord in salvation because of heartlessness or hatefulness. Up to this point, if you read the first few chapters of Acts, we see this man called Saul of Tarsus was an extremely religious man. He thought he was doing what was right, and he was persecuting the Christians, those who were born-again Christians, those who were saved. If you read at the end, at the first verse in Acts chapter 8, we see there he is standing at the feet Stephen. See, 60. He was standing at the feet of Stephen, whom he was with, were stoning. He was holding their clothes, as it were, as they were throwing boulders. They dug a low spot in the ground, and they had boulders, and they were killing this man called Stephen. Stephen, who was a born-again Christian, one who was serving the Lord. And Saul at that time was giving consent to this. He thought he was doing right. He needs to exterminate these born-again Christians. Until we come to chapter 9 and we see the Lord Jesus Christ, he gets a hold of this man. Look what it says. Acts chapter 9. And Saul, that's his name before he was saved. And by the way, the moment you're saved, you'll have a new name. How about Christian? And that word Christian is used very liberally today. And what the real meaning is, a Christ one, someone who follows Christ. And if someone says to you today, I'm a Christian, and you say, well, you must follow the Lord Jesus then, do you? That's a good way to ask them, are you a follower of Christ? Because that's what Christian is. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest, that is the religious leaders, and desired of them letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near to Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth, and he heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, "Who art thou, Lord? Who art thou?" My friends, that would give you a scare, wouldn't it, when some voice from heaven said, "Paul, called you by name, not only once but twice. Why are you persecuting me?" And he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" In fact, that voice knocked him right to the ground. You know what? That's a lot of times we need to get, God needs to get our attention too. And sometimes you use some very drastic measures. And he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the goads." And he, trembling, that is Paul, and astonished, said, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" And the Lord said unto him, "Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do." What did he do? "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." That was the moment that Saul of Tarsus was saved. His name was changed to Paul the Apostle. He wrote a whole bunch of the books in the Bible. He became a person who would die for the Lord Jesus Christ. This one who was crucifying Christians now would give his life for the Lord Jesus. What did he see? He saw the Lord Jesus Christ. He saw him, the crucified one, the one who had crucified on the cross. Paul saw him, a vision from heaven. And he said, "Lord, what will you have me to do?" Do you ever ask that question? "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" And mean what you say. Supreme Master, what do you want me to do? And the Lord says, "You go to a city and they'll be shown what to do." And it says scales, as it were, dropped from his eyes after a period of 3 days. In other words, he was blind, but now he could see. He was saved. The Lord had caught this man because he called out to him. He called him Lord. First one was, "Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner." Secondly, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" And if we went quickly, we could go to Matthew's Gospel chapter 25, and we don't have time to go there. There we see a story about, it says, 10 virgins. And I believe why it is used those words is because it is speaking about 10 people who are morally right. Collectively speaking, they all looked the same. But it says about that group of 10, there was 5 wise and 5 foolish. See, 5 of them had lamps. In fact, the 10 of them had lamps, but only 5 of them had extra oil. And oil in the Word of God speaks about the Spirit of God. And the moment that you are saved, you are indwelt by the Spirit of God. God promises that. Read it in the Word of God for yourself. The Holy Spirit, the divine nature, you are indwelt by it. It goes on further that the bridegroom, they were waiting, as it were, for a marriage ceremony. And they're waiting for the bridegroom to return. And they had their lights turned on, as it were. They had their lamps on. But you know what? The 5 foolish people, their lights went out after a while. And only those who had the extra oil, their lights could keep burning. And when the bridegroom came, they could enter in. But the 5 who were foolish, who didn't have the oil, they had to go buy oil. And it was too late when they returned. You know what they said? Just turn there quickly. Matthew chapter 25. And verse 10 of chapter 25, "And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut." You know what? The door may be shut tonight for you to be saved today. Listen to what it says. "Afterwards came also the other virgins," that is the 5 foolish, "saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. But he answered and he said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know not neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." They acknowledged him as Lord, and there's people today acknowledge people the Lord as Lord. But you know what? They're only professors. They're not possessors. They don't have the Spirit of God. They have the lamp. What does that speak about? It speaks about a life that is morally correct. In other words, they're very religious. They're like someone else in the 12 that the Lord chose. But one was a devil. Who was he? Judas. Did the rest of them know about that? There was 11 of them there didn't have any idea that Judas was a traitor, that he would betray the Lord Jesus. Was he a possessor? No, he was a professor for a while. But he had something else on his mind, didn't he? And the Lord Jesus Christ wasn't one of them. If you went back to Matthew chapter 7 right quickly, and I'm going to leave it after we... Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21, just to put a little note on this. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21. He that doeth the will of my Father, doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, or preached in thy name, and thy name have cast out demons, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, you that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. Remember we said five wise and five foolish? Upon a rock, building a house upon a rock, a foundation, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and they beat upon that house, and it fell not, because it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not. My friends, we can hear all the gospel preaching. We can hear everything. We can hear the word of God from one end to the other. But if we don't do what God tells us to do, my friends, you are going on the way. You're on the way to hell. We see that again in James. Be not just a hearer, but a what? A doer. In other words, what God tells us to do, we need to do it. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Have you ever done that and meant it? And really wanted the Lord to forgive you of your sins? Because if you haven't, I'm going to have to give you some sad information. You're on the road to hell. And if you died today, that's where you'll be for all eternity. You want to read another story? Go to Luke's Gospel, chapter 16. The rich man who lifted up his eyes where? In hell. Pretty scary. I thank the Lord, and sometimes I cannot truly understand or comprehend why He saved me. Why my eyes were open, why I called out to Him. I'm asking you the same question. Are you ready to meet the Lord? Are you saved? Because you know what? You know in your heart of hearts if you're saved or not this morning. You know it. I knew it. And you know it too. And if we continue to let Satan and the world, this world dupe us and deceive us, and we keep sweeping everything under the mat, and that knock at our heart's door keeps getting fainter and fainter, we're on really dangerous ground. Don't let it go too long. You need to be saved today. I can't save you. You need to come to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. And you must be serious and you say, Lord, save me today. Don't let it go on another moment. I want to be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Let's close in prayer. Our Father, we bow in thy presence, we bow in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we know the Spirit of God is present today. We pray, Father, the Spirit of God would have way with even hearts today. Maybe some soul who is hurting, some soul who is confused, some soul who needs to be saved today. May the Spirit of God take the Word of God, and may He apply it to their hearts. And Father, may they bow their knee this morning. Part us with thy blessings, we pray, for we ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.